Amen. Well, our theme this year, as we know, is shine. And if anyone isn't sure of that or if you've forgotten that, just look around you and you'll see that our theme for the year is shine. I'm also that we're all aware of that this morning. I want to talk about us lighting up the world. When Jesus was in the earth, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." That's what Jesus said. He said, "I am the light of the world." But then he also said, he said that you are the light of the world. And I want to speak about us being that light into the world. Because we do live in a world of darkness. We do live in a world that really needs people to stand up and shine. I want to have a look at the book of Daniel. And Daniel chapter 12, this is the prophet Daniel writing about 600 years before the Lord came down to earth and walked among us. And I want to read this particular passage in the book of Daniel and have a look at that. It talks about shining and it talks about us shining. And the real challenge for us is to shine. Are we shining as the stars, as we truly being the light of the world? Let's read it. Daniel chapter 12 and start reading verses 1 to 4. It says, "There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of the nations until then." Remember, Daniel is prophesying the vision that he's given. He's getting insight into what is going to happen at the end of the age, at the consummation of the age. Daniel and Revelation go very closely together, the companion books of Scripture together. So Daniel's speaking forth, it's prophesying, it's been revealed to him what is going to be happening in the end of time. It says, "And there will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes asleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who were wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge." And I want to have a look at the different aspects that this verse adds up. It's talking about the end times, and it's talking about a time that will come upon the earth of judgment and great distress that will happen. But it's looking for those that whose name are written in the book of life. It says, "But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth," those that are dead, it says, "some will awaken, some to everlasting life." And we have the promise of everlasting life in Christ Jesus and all the things that we celebrated at communion. But it said others, and this is the sad part, it says others to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, we all know many, many people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And basically it does come to that point at the end of the age. Remember, Daniel's writing about the end of the age. It says, some to everlasting life, some others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who have not given their life to Jesus Christ, those who have not called upon him. We've always got to be reminded of that, because in the busyness of life and everything else that happens in life, always remember, everything always comes down to this factor. It always comes down to that one day we stand before God. Now, for those of us who have given our life to Christ, we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that our name is written in his book. But we can get so caught up in life and all the issues of life and all the dealings of life, we forget that there are multitudes of people, and it says that some others will rise to shame and everlasting contempt. They will receive punishment for that. And there's a scripture in Revelation 20. Remember, I said Daniel and Revelation are really companion books. And it talks there again about this book of life. It says this, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne." So this is the great white throne judgment before the Lord at the end of the age. It says he saw them all, the dead, the great and small, everyone, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. All those whose names were found written, all those whose names were not found written in the book of life, were thrown into the lake of fire. The first verse talked about waking up to everlasting life, and it talked about those going into everlasting fire. And can I just get us just to pray for a moment as a church? Something here that we've done is we've done the book of life prayer. And at the beginning of this year, we all wrote in this book people that we know that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. This could be your own children. This could be your parents. It could be your father, your mother. It could be your sister, your brother. It could be your nieces. It could be your nephews. It could be your cousins. It could be someone in your extended or immediate family. Also, we wrote down the names of maybe people that you work with, workmates, people that you see every day or most days, 5 days a week, who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And people that you live next door, your neighbours, people that you're friends with, people that you know from different avenues. And we all, at the beginning of this year, we wrote down a list of names. And I trust that you still haven't lost that list. Remember, we kept one that we put in our Bible that we'd pray for those people. And then we wrote the names down here. We've been praying for these at a church. Every time that we pray, we're praying for these people. We're praying for the names that are in there. But I want you just to... Come here, Carmen, quickly. Come and tell me. Carmen just wants to give a little testimony about these people written in the book. Quick, Carmen.
Two of these people that are written in this book are my grandchildren. One, Rihanna, and one, Diane. I prayed for them for nearly 9 years. They gave their hearts to the Lord about 3 months ago, and they all got baptized. It was really wonderful when they rang me up and they told me, Rihanna rang me up and she said, Nana, guess what? I got baptized. I couldn't stand on my feet when I was holding my telephone. And I said, what? She said, Nana, something happened to me. I was on the computer and a loud voice came. And she was so scared from this computer, which I don't know what it was. And she rang up one of her friends from school, which was a young man, and he was a Christian. He came, and he prayed on her, and he took her to church. And since then, she went to church, and she gave her heart to the Lord. And she's so happy, because 9 years ago, this girl, this my granddaughter, was prophesied on that she was going to be an ambassador of Christ. It took 9 years. She was only 9 years old. Now she's 18. And I praise God for that because I'm so nervous. her mother gave her heart to the Lord as well, but she drifted away. She used to come to church with me, the other one before I came here. And I always prayed because the children were so happy when they used to come to church. They sang and to the Lord and worshiped, but God answered my prayer. It took 9 years, so don't give up. Don't give up. I'm always praying for my husband and for my other two children, James and Gisette. They gave their heart to the Lord, but they drifted away. I thank God that I've got my other son and my two granddaughters now. If I go up there, they're going to be with me in heaven one day. And my mother and my father as well. But my mother is still alive. She's 94 years old. And she gave her heart to the Lord 6 years ago. And thank God, I'm going to have my family up there.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you for Carmen, Lord. We just thank you, Father, for the faithfulness, Lord, and faithfulness in praying. And Father, for the ones that you love, Lord. And what a wonderful thing it is, Lord, just to see the answer to one who's been faithful in prayer, Lord. I just honor her before you, Lord. And but Lord, we just rejoice with it too, Father. Lord, what a joy it is, Lord, to have those that we love, Lord, in heaven. Father, we just thank you for that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. The passage, I'll not take that for you. Praise God. It's just a wonderful thing, isn't it? Praying. So I trust that you've been praying, if you're faithful in prayer. God really honors that. Now, right now, you may be thinking of people that you know that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they're a family member. And say it's when people close to us, they're not walking with the Lord. I have one of my family members who's not walking with the Lord at all. And the one that my father is not walking with the Lord either. Well, two. One has gone right away. One that's quite a long way away from the Lord. And so we pray for them. And there's others that we've got down here that we're praying for. So I want to take us a little moment now. I know we've had a lot happening today, but we want to take a moment. Can we just pray for these ones? Because this is at the end of the day, this is what it all comes down to. At the end of the day, when you stand before heaven and praise God, you're going to receive your eternal reward for God. He rewards you. He'll bless you and all our sins are gone. When the books are open, any book of accusation against you has got blank pages. There's nothing there that you will stand for because Christ has wiped all of that. And the only book that your name has got any reference to you is the book of life and says, this is my child. He's going to be with me forever. But when we be there, we want to see our other family with us, don't we? We want to see people that we know. So right now, you can probably think of people on your heart, ones that you've written down here. Maybe these are other ones. Maybe there's others that Carmen's now got because she's seen these ones come into the kingdom of God. So we just stand to our feet and just in your own heart, just pray. Maybe ask Pastor John just to lead us in a prayer. But I just want you just to picture those people that are on your heart and just take a moment just before Pastor John leads us in a prayer. I just want you to visualize, just look at the people in your mind. Think of the people that you're praying for. Just form a mental picture of them. And remember what we're praying is we're not only praying that they're going to come into the kingdom of God, but we're praying, Lord, that you use me. Use me, Lord. Help me somehow, Father, to be able to bridge that gap, Lord, that we'll see them come into your kingdom. So form that picture now. And we're just going to take this moment to pray, because at the end of the day, when all else matters, this is the thing that really matters. And so let's just pray. Let's just keep these people in our hearts as Pastor John leads us now.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we just give you thanks and all the praise and glory, Father. Lord, that we can hear testimony of your faithfulness. But Lord, for each one of us here today, Lord, for our families, our friends, Father, Lord, many people that we come in contact with daily and we often think about them. But Lord, may we be even more zealous, Father, zealous in prayer. May we be fervent in prayer, Father. Lord, as we just shared this morning, how faith brings joy. And Father, we heard that testimony this morning. We heard that testimony from Carmen, Lord, of her faith, her prayer, Lord, where she faithfully prayed. So Lord, let that be, Father. Lord, let us not just write names and forget, Father, but we just pray, Lord, that they'll always be brought to remembrance, each and every person, Lord, that we've brought before you, Father. Lord, there's many that come before us, many in our lives. So, Lord, again, Lord, let us be diligent. Let us be diligent in prayer, Father. Let us be faithful, Father, Lord, to this commitment that we made, that we would pray for those who don't know you. Lord, that your kingdom would continue to grow in every way, but most of all, Father, hearts will be gladdened, Lord, because salvation came to them. So, Father, again, we just bless you. We thank you, Father, Lord, that we can stand before you in this way, Father, and reach out and just ask of you, Lord. And we know, Lord, that you will honor our prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you. Thank you.
Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. Let's remember that, because at the end of the day, as I said, really, when all else has failed, that's really what it's about. It's really about seeing people coming to know our Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly how this passage is, as I said, it's talking about end times. It's talking about the time when the Lord comes, and it talks about what will happen, the crunch, the bottom line. But it's, before we even get to that, it also talks about, it says, those who are wise, it says, will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. One of the things about it, it says those who are wise will shine. And basically to be wise is someone who has knowledge, but they know how to use it. They're smart, they're sensitive. It says those who are wise will shine. And we all want to shine. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, your Pastor Pat wants to shine. She already is. But we want to all shine, praise God. And where the word says there, it says shining, it says those who were wise will shine like the heavens. It actually says the meaning of the word shining, the application of the word is shining. It's not just, wow, look at me, I'm bright. But it's actually to teach or to warn, really, is what that word shining, it means. And it means that we are people that are about that. We're going to, the people that we're in relationship, just remember that God chose you to be in relationship with them. Didn't choose someone else. And sometimes when we're praying for people saying, oh, Lord, bring someone across their path, Lord. Make them meet a good Christian. Well, they know a good Christian. They know you. Lord, send somebody who loves you, Lord. Well, they know someone who loves you, loves God. They know you. And so God's already sent someone. He's already got the right person. He's already chosen the right person. He chose you. He made you their relative for a reason. And he made you work in that place, not just to, for provision, but so that you can touch people's lives. He put you in the neighborhood because you're to be salt and light and to make a difference in that. So never, never forget that. It's those who shine who teach or warn. And make it clear, when something's shining, you put a bright light on something, something that's difficult to see, you know, if it's all foggy or it's dark, it's hard to see. You're trying to find something, try to find your keys in the dark, you got all your keys, you can't see what's going on, but you put a light on, you can actually see. And really that's what it means, is that we're actually going to put the light on for people, to shine it for people, to make it clear. People that are lost, who have no idea in life, that are wandering there. We actually do that. We put the light on by teaching them and by warning them and telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to pray for people. There's a power in prayer. But really the gospel is something that is spoken as well as lived. And we do need to speak that out. And so to shine, it says those that are shining. We all want to be wise, and wise people or actually get the priority of life right. Because we can even get caught up in so many things and we forget at the end of the day, the bottom line is that we all stand before the Father, the books are open, and where do we stand? Well, we're okay. We're okay. Praise God for that. Praise God. We had communion today. Praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, I'm okay. Praise God for his blood that washes us and cleanses and forgives us and that puts us right with God, that we can have right relationship with him. But there's a lot of people who aren't okay. Many, many people, ones that we know, we want to warn them. We want to teach them. That's how we really want to shine out to them. Proverbs 11:30, it says this to us. It says, the fruit of the righteous of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. We want to be wise, win souls. Are you a soul winner? And just look at that. How are we shining? It's great. We show love and we love people, care. But never forget that the shining is actually, it's actually speaking it out. It's teaching and it's warning is what the scripture is saying here. Those that are wise that are shining out. It's not just, well, I'm just going to live a good life and they'll look at me and say, gee, they're a really nice person. Wonder why they're a nice person. I'll ask them. Now, that's a part of that. But really is about telling them, teaching them, warning them. You know, I've told the story before of my mother's friend who led her friend to the Lord, who was a close friend for 8 years. She finally gave her heart to the Lord, and then my mother's friend, the friend of my mother's friend, was quite angry at my mother's friend because she said, you've been my friend for 8 years, and you never told me. She was really stroppy. You've had the answer to all of the struggles, all of the issues of life, all the things I'm going through. And she was really stroppy with us. She was upset. Now, she praised God, but she's saying, how can you do that? How can you be my friend for 8 years and not tell me? And that really, that when I heard that story, my mother related that to me. I thought, wow, well, that's true. You know, how often do we know someone for many, many years and yet that we don't teach them and we don't warn them and we think we're shining because we're a nice person. Well, that's true. We need to. Our actions can quickly betray our words, but we've still got to have the words to teach them, to warn them. Those who are wise, he who wins souls is wise. It says, the wise will shine like the brightness of heaven. We want to see people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so important that we do that. And it talks about shining like stars forever and ever. And one other thing about being a star, God does really want us to stand out. And the thing is, again, the sense of being a star here is, yeah, this talks about stars in the heavens and stars in the sky. But if you think about it, you look at a team, there's always, you look for the star in the team. Oh, this person's a star. Or if they're, I remember when I was a kid, my father used to write musicals, which were performed all over Melbourne and also interstate and even overseas, and also on television, writing television. So all of the television shows of 20 years ago or more, 30 years ago even, all of the two shows that were on TV, my father was either the editor or the main writer or the storyliner or whatever. And so I used to go there. I used to meet all the stars. I used to meet them. If it was a musical, we'd always go backstage. Big stars on the doors would always go in there. We'd meet everybody. I had a little autograph book. I had everyone's autograph. All the shows that were on TV, we'd go into the studios. We'd meet all the actors. We'd get all the autographs. And there's all these people that got stars everywhere. They're a star. But the sense of this, in this here is actually, it says that you're a star. See, sometimes we don't think of that. We think that we're just an extra in a movie. You know, you have movies that, you know, you've got Ben-Hur, there's 10,000 extras or something in the movie, and they don't even get named, and they're just an extra. But actually, the Bible actually refers to us. It's talking about us. It says that you're actually a star. In other words, we are the star of the show. You've got a movie they put here are the stars. Well, none of us are bit part actors. None of us are just extras. The sense of here is that God actually has chosen us, and we're the ones that are in his plan. He's actually chosen you to play a leading role in that. And look, you're life and death to some people in this world. We literally are life and death, our witness to them, and whether we're teaching them or warning them is life and death. And so God, when he says that you're a star, see, some people think, oh, I'm not very good, I'm hopeless, oh, maybe I'm a bit of a failure, I'm a loser. God doesn't see any of us like that. He says, you're a star in my plan, in my purpose, which is to see people come, and you're not a little bit part actor doing something on the side, and you're not an extra that just fills in a crowd scene somewhere. But God says, no, that you are a star, and that certainly is the sense of the word here, that you are a main one in my plan. You are a main part of what I have. And we've all got to see ourselves as that thing. Oh, well, I'm just an extra. I just make up the numbers, or I'm just a little bit part. I do my little bit here and there. And God says, no, in my plan that you are a star, you have a leading role. And certainly in the lives of people that we know, whether they come to faith or not, really is going to depend a lot on us. Now, we're not responsible for their decisions, but that we are responsible to shine to them. We are responsible to be the ones that actually teach them and warn them and show them the things of God, to actually make it clear, because it's not clear. Even a lot of the stuff that people see and read and things aren't very clear at all, but we our job is to make it clear, is to shine the light of Christ on things. It's so important that we do that. We're not just some extra, some little bit part player in it, think, oh, I'll leave it to someone else. They're the stars of the show. I'm an extra. I fill up the numbers. Or I'm a little bit part actor doing my little 5 seconds of glory. It's not like that. We are all of the stars of the show, and that's literally what it means, that God wants us to shine brightly in that way and to teach or to warn. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. All of us, we want to be those who lead many to righteousness, and let's do that. That's truly what it is to shine. Philippians 2:14 is an interesting scripture, and it says this: Philippians 2 verses 14 to 16. Just do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And we look around, and this is warped. I mean, that the things that are becoming, they're trying to normalize so many things that are just not normal. And our society is trying to do that, trying to force us to accept really what is not acceptable. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And God wants us to stand out, to shine among them. But it says right at the beginning, do everything without grumbling or arguing. And our attitude really goes a long way. Our attitude is really, really important. Don't ever underestimate the power of our attitude. If we complain about things, or we're grumbling about things, or argumentative about things, it says do everything without grumbling or arguing. It says so that you may become. And so our attitude is really important, because your attitude actually affects what you become. It does. You had a bad attitude, then you will become something not good. If our attitude is good, we're not complaining or arguing. It says, so that you may become. And it says, what do we become? It says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault. Now, we are already before God in his righteousness because of Jesus Christ. When he looks at us, he looks at you, he says, you're pure, you're perfect, you're blameless, you're without fault. Because of Jesus Christ, that when we stand before God and the books are open, he looks at you and says, oh, you're perfect, you're pure, you're blameless because of Jesus Christ, because we're hidden in Christ. He's dealt with our sin. He's wiped all that away, and so that we have confidence before God. And so what's he saying this? He's speaking this to Christians who are already blameless and pure before God, but in terms of our outworking of our life, so that we actually stand out amongst a wicked and perverse generation. Because what they're looking for here is a contrast. It's saying the world is depraved, it's falling down here, but you're not to be like that. You're actually to stand out among them, and you're to be that bright light that shines out upon them. Now, the fact that we're a Christian and the fact that before God, because of Jesus Christ, that we're already like that is not what it's saying here. It's saying this is our witness is what it's talking about. It's saying how effective are we going to do that? How are we really going to shine out as we hold to the word of life? And so it's not talking about our salvation. Jesus has secured that. But our witness, it's talking about that. And how our witness is, how effective our witness is really determined by our attitude. And if we keep our attitude right, we keep our heart right, our heart soft, and we're not complaining, and we're not arguing, but our heart is for the Lord, we're keeping our heart soft for God and the things of God, it says that we will become, and becoming is a revelation of who already Christ has made us to be, but we're outworking that, and then we begin to shine and really begin to light out the word. And if you struggle with that, with your witness, and you think, well, gee whiz, you know, sometimes my witness, I don't know whether I am a good witness, and I don't know whether I have, you know, seeing people come to the Lord, well, then get back to the first part and check and say, okay, well, I'm just going to do, maybe I need to do a little attitude check here. Maybe when I do things, but I complain about them. Maybe I'm doing something and saying, well, I'm doing this, no one else is doing it. Well, where's everybody else? Well, then that's the wrong attitude. We're complaining. It's if we're doing stuff and we're doing it, but we're complaining about it and there's no joy. We've spoken about joy has been spoken about this morning. Well, if there's no joy in what we're doing, then it's going to affect what we're becoming. We'll become something that doesn't have joy, and something without joy is not a good witness. It's not a good testimony. And so remember, our attitude does affect what we are becoming. That's what the scripture says, so that you may become. And so if you haven't become, maybe some of those things will always get back to you. Say, Lord, okay, my attitude. I've got to check what's my attitude. Do I have a good attitude about things? Do I complain about everything? Do I complain about my life all the time? I complain about my problems all the time. Is it all I ever talk about is complaining about my life and everything that happened and me, all the problems and the stresses and everything else? Now, we need to be able to share those with one another. We need to be able to honour one another, care for one another, love one another. But if we're so absorbed with that, that our attitude will be affected by that, and we'll find that our witness is actually so severely diminished by that. We're blameless and pure, but if our attitude goes off, we'll find that what we become actually goes off as well. And so we've always got to check our attitude. It really makes such a difference to what we become in the things of God. We've got to watch our heart. It does determine that. It says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. There's such a contrast that the scripture's looking at. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly the word of life. That's how you can really make things clear. And sometimes we struggle in our witness because maybe our attitude isn't right in some areas of our life. Maybe we struggle with that. We're not making it clear, because when people see that, they see attitudes in us and they say, well, that's no different to anyone else. The way you talk or the way you act or the way you think or the way you respond, well, that's really no different to anyone else. And your workmates look at you and you're just the same as everyone else. You're not going to shine out. But if they see that, hang on, you actually have a different attitude, the way that you approach your work, the way that you approach other people, the way that you approach problems, and they'll actually look at you and say, you know what? There's something different there. There's something being held out. There's something there. So always get back. It always gets back to your attitude, what is in our hearts, because that will determine what we are becoming. But we want to be people that shine out and shine out the things of God. The passage talks about the book of life. It talks about us shining as stars in the universe. And then at the end of this passage is an interesting thing that it says is, and really this is the end, it's the end of the book of Daniel, as we're reading towards the end of that. It talks about people who, it says, many will go here and there to increase knowledge. And it talks about, and remember, this is about the consumption of the ages. This is talking about end times. This is talking about the end of the age. And it's saying when we get to the end of the age, you're going to have more and more people doing whatever they can trying to find knowledge. And you find in human endeavor in the areas of science and things, all the technologies, all the breakthrough, more and more people are trying to increase knowledge. We have incredible acceleration in areas of technology, always trying to add knowledge to knowledge and knowledge. And I'm reading an interesting book at the moment which talks about, it's actually talking about UFOs, which I'll mention in a moment, but how people in actually their quest for knowledge are actually now wanting to believe in something far beyond themselves. And they've seen failures in science and stuff. In fact, although science is increasingly pointing to a creator science has opened up realms of where the scientists are having to say now, well, yes, science points to God, but I can't believe in God because if I do, there's implications, so I'm going to ignore that. And then, because science is more and more pointing to God all the time, but people beyond themselves are always looking for more knowledge now. And so you, right now in the world, this thing about UFOs is growing and growing and growing. People are into paranormal experiences. People are looking and searching, trying to find something. It's increasing all of the time. People are being obsessed with trying to get hold of all of this sort of stuff. And it was prophesied that as we get closer and closer to the end of the age, people are going to be running here and there trying to get knowledge. And I see it all the time, people running after this thing, running after that thing, running here and there, trying to get knowledge, trying to grab a hold of something, because there's something in the heart of every man that needs God in there. There's that God place within every person. And even people that you know, you find that they get into all sort of interesting, weird sort of stuff, you know, into some new age things or something they found on the internet, or they're into, I don't know if you read that the other day, they've got in kindergartens now, they've got little kids, three-year-olds doing yoga, teaching 3 or 4 year olds meditation. You know, they're starting to do that in the kinders. And so you think, man, where is this world going? What is happening to the world? People looking everywhere, trying to find. But we actually have it. We actually have it. And if we're really going to shine and be the light of the world, we really need to speak it. We really need to tell people. We need to do that. And not that we're earning anything from God in doing that. We have everything in Jesus Christ. But the bottom line is when the book is opened, you either have Christ or you don't. And so many, too many, don't have Jesus Christ. Whether they come to Christ or not, it's their decision, it's not ours. But whether we present the opportunity to them, whether we talk to them, whether we warn them, whether we talk to them, that's entirely our choice, whether we do that. And I encourage every one of us to be actively doing that. Colossians 2:2, it says this. It says, and this is a prayer that the Apostle Paul was praying. It says, that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. People are trying to find everything, trying to find wisdom, they're trying to find knowledge, but ultimately it's all found in Christ. It's all hidden in Christ. Everything is in Christ. The quest for people that are getting into increasingly wacky things and right off being trying to touch something, and there's a spiritual yearning in the heart of men. And it says all of the things that people are longing for, what they really want to find, it's found in Jesus Christ. It's that treasure. And who has the treasure? We do. We got the treasure. We have Christ within us. We have that treasure within us. We have that Christ is within our hearts. And yet we work with people that are probably getting into all sorts of stuff. You've got schoolmates, people that you're studying with at uni or working with, whatever. They get into all sorts of stuff because they don't know any better. There's something within them crying out to God. They're crying out. They don't even know it's to God. They're trying to fulfill this thing, and they're trying. People going here and they're going there and they're doing all of this stuff. And the whole time, we got the answer. We've got Jesus Christ. And so we need to light the world. We need to shine that. And it is within us. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, for God who said, let the light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. His light shining in our hearts. And so my challenge to us this morning is, look, it's bottom line stuff I'm talking this morning. When push comes to shove, we get caught up in so many other things, which at the end of the day, and the end of the day is at the end of time, when we stand before the Father, they don't matter a cracker. They don't mean anything. All our accomplishments, everything that we possess, all the stuff that we do, all of the things that we spend our life, our energy, our time, everything else on, we get caught up in our problems, our hassles, our stresses, this and that, and all of the things around. At the end of the day, when you stand before God, none of that matters. Now, we've still got to live this life, and we've still got to live in this world, and we've still got to do all of those things. I'm not saying that. But the fundamental priority is there's a book in heaven that gets opened up, and this is our book of life. These are the people we're praying for. But there's a book that gets opened in heaven, and there's a whole lot of names there, and it gets push comes to shove, are you in the book or not? Now, we are. If you're here this morning and you're giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got 100% guarantee you know your name's there. Well, that's great, but it's not I'm all right, Jack, because there's a lot of people who are not all right. And so can I encourage us this morning to really shine, to light the world. And there's an increasing, look, the world are increasingly searching all the more, because I honestly believe the time is coming more and more closer. You know, is the Lord coming tomorrow? I pray that he doesn't come tomorrow, because there's too many people who don't know him yet. Too many people. We think, oh, I pray Jesus come right now. No, no, please don't come right now, because there's too many people that need to know you. And if I told you tomorrow, and I knew 100%, which I'm not telling you, and I do not know, no one knows the time of the hour, but if by somehow I knew that tomorrow was the day and Jesus is coming tomorrow at 12 o'clock, meeting over, what would you do? You'd be racing through the door. You'd be ringing up every relative. You'd be visiting them. You'd be there like a shot. All your workmates, look, I've got to tell you this tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Jesus is coming. There's something happening. There'll be something stirring in your heart. Not just another day at the office. And I pray that God stirs an urgency in our heart, because at the end of the day, it's too important to miss this. It's just too important. And we're the light of the world. We're the ones to shine. And we want to be wise. Those who win souls are wise. The wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens and like the star. Those who lead many to righteousness like the stars. And that's who we want to be. So can we stand to our feet? And I just want to spend some time just quickly praying for us this morning. And again, you know, Jesus, maybe he's not coming back tomorrow at 12 o'clock. And if he is, only the Father in heaven knows that. No one else does. We had a crackpot in America. I suppose you saw that. It was telling everybody, you know, they had big signs everywhere. Jesus is coming back. And this is the second time he was wrong. So he said, oh, he's coming back in October sometime now. And he's probably going to come in December. He's, you know, only the Father knows. But if you knew, you would do something. He is coming back, and there is a book, and it will be opened at one time. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, for each of us. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for those that are here, Lord, that those who love you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that they're confident that their names are written in that book of life, Father. I thank you for that. I thank you because of Jesus Christ. It's not because of our goodness or our how good we are, Father. We know, Lord, that we're not good, Father. We know, Lord, that we struggle. But, Father, we know that there's a goodness that we have in Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your righteousness that's been given to us, Father. It's not our failings and our whatever, Lord, but you call us a star to shine, Lord. You've given us that main role, Father, in this incredible, important thing called life, Father. And so, Father, I just pray now, Lord, for each of us. Lord, let us be stirred up, Father. Lord, let us always maintain the right bottom line perspective. At the end of the day, there's a book. And it all depends on whether someone is for Christ, whether they've given their life to Christ or not. Father, I pray for every person here, Lord. I thank you for those whose names are written in the book of life because of Jesus Christ. But, Father, if there's anyone that has come today, Lord, that is not sure that their name is written in that book. They're not sure that they're right with Jesus, that they're right with the Father because of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray they will not go home today, Lord, not knowing, Lord. They will come and know for sure they'll come and find you. I pray that in Jesus' name. But Father, I pray, Lord, let there be an urgency. Lord, we don't know the hour. We just know it was closer now than it was an hour ago, Lord. We know it was closer than it was yesterday. We know it was closer than it was a week, a month, a year ago. Lord, it is getting closer. And so, Father, stir an urgency in our hearts. So let us truly shine, Lord, to be that light of the world. And Father, certainly those that you put us in relationship, Lord, help us to shine your light, Father. Give us the courage, Lord. Give us the strength. But Lord, give us the heart and the passion to do that, Father. Lord, your word says you don't want anyone to perish. It's tragedy, Lord, that there will still be some, Lord, who will not accept you. But Father, as far as it depends on us, Lord, let us be the ones, Lord, who will shine, Lord, who will speak, Lord, who will warn, Lord, who will teach, Lord, who will show them and bring light unto them. Lord, this is the way, Lord, to show them the way. So, Father, I pray you stir it in our hearts. I thank you, Lord, you don't do this to condemn us, but, Father, that you lift us up, Father, because your heart is to see the people that we love, Lord. You love them even more than us. And, Father, you want to see them in eternity with you, Lord. You love them even more than we do. So, Father, we bring them again once before you, Father, all those ones. And Father, again, stir our hearts so that we might truly shine. Father, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's